You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Waitangi Tribunal has recently come out with a new report titled the Ora Report, calling for more funding to Maori healthcare initiatives and an independent authority from government in order to self-regulate that funding. Producer Samuel Den got in contact with the co-author of the report, Turiti Moxon, and started by asking her, what are the differences between a Maori model of health and a Pākehā model of health?
Well, first of all, the Maori models that we currently have are from a Maori worldview. They're based on tikanga, on Maori tikanga. They're based on the things that we feel are most important to us culturally, and also in terms of our own language. Now, for example, you've got Te Ohu Kaimoana, which is the fisheries, Maori fisheries. You have Te Wānanga o Aotearoa, and all the different wānanga that there are around the country. And again, they have Maori governments, Maori CEOs, Maori staff to a large degree. Not completely, of course, because none of us are completely Māori in terms of the totality of our staff. So you've got a whole lot of people and views that are from a Māori worldview. And so that makes it a lot different from working in a system that has a Western perspective, and that we do things just as Māori do things in a particular way, so do those who work from a Western paradigm, Pākehā paradigm in the main.
This isn't the first time this has happened, is it? There's been other instances in the past where the Ministry of Health has been found to be neglecting the needs of Māori and applying that Pākehā paradigm to Māori people and Māori families in order to get solutions. But it's been very prescriptive, right?
Yeah, quite right. And one of the overarching recommendations of the Waitangi Tribunal was to amend the treaty section of the New Zealand Public Disability Act 2000, because it doesn't give enough strength to what should be happening in terms of the treaty throughout the whole of the health system. And that's part of the issue, because people have interpreted that in different ways. And because they've done that, they've actually rationalize that they don't have to operationalize, if you like, the treaty. They pay homage to it by having it in their documentation, throughout their strategies and all of that. But in actual fact, what came out of the Waitangi Tribunal was that they didn't know how to operationalize it, how to make it real, and how to make it stand amidst the Western model of the Pākehā paradigm. They didn't know how to do that. And it was reduced and basically made invisible. The recommendations of the tribunal for them to look at what that means in terms of equity and in terms of the principle of protection, the principle of participation, and the principles of partnership, it says that they need to amend it. So it speaks very clearly to what that actually means in reducing inequalities and inequities.
I can see how those three P's are often interpreted wildly differently by various different services, right? One person's idea of what partnership, participation, and protection.
Yes, protection.
The Waitangi Tribunal has recommended is actually the establishment of an independent Māori health authority.
That's correct.
Yep. So putting, instead of letting the politicians down in Wellington and Ministry of Health officials sort of dictate how the Treaty of Waitangi is honoured and put into practice in a healthcare setting, yep. What the Waitangi Tribunal is saying is actually we have the resources to do that. And yeah, so like what are you guys... How is that going to be established, and what's it going to look like once it is established?
So basically, Māori have been allocated about 2% of vote health, 2%. And of that 2%, it was estimated that we got 0.2% of that money. And it was supposedly for Māori health. But Māori never got that money. It was able to go through the system, and they basically, DHBs, PHOs, just used that money wherever they felt they should use that money. So it never really got, it didn't get to Māori. And so the beautiful thing about having an independent Māori health authority is that we, and the tribunal have been very clear that it should be a standalone. So it will work for the betterment of Māori. So we'll be able to contract in the same way as the Whānau Order Commissioning Agency is doing, in the same way that because we already have a good example of what that could look like, and they will contract for outcomes. Instead of it just being an FTE, which is quite often the way in which contracts have been worded, that you must have one person to do this particular job, but it doesn't actually go far enough to say, these are the outcomes that we want, this is the difference we want to see happen in our society, in our communities, particularly in Māori communities. The beauty about outcomes, having an outcome framework, is that how you do that is entirely up to you as to how to do that. So it's not prescriptive. So we can be innovative and creative around the way in which we do our work, and we work with whānau. So we can be fluid enough so that if whānau, if this is not working for whānau, we can change that and say, okay, let's try it this way. Because whānau are at the centre of all of this. It's not us doing to them, but it's working with them to make it to plan and set goals as to how they think that it should happen and how they want it to happen. So they're actually determining. Very, very different from the kind of contracting that we currently have. That will be a way in which Māori will be able to determine and self-determine in terms of our own rangatiratanga and our own Māori mani motuhake, the way we want to contract our whānau and their communities, because in the end, it's what's best for their particular community, because every community is different. And particularly in the Waikato, we've got a lot of rural families. They're not necessarily getting the kinds of services that they should be getting either, and then they have to come into our big city centre to be seen. And that can be very expensive and very costly on their part, and resource intensive. And, you know, petrol's just gone up now, and that's going to be another burden on them. So we're very excited about that.
Did you say 0.2% of funding actually reaching Māori service providers and Māori patients?
And that's the thing, because they're using what the so-called Māori money, and just using it where they want. And what came out of it was that there was no monitoring of where that money went, so they could just pretty much please themselves. You know, the Crown has invested, you know, $220 billion into the health system since 2000, the year 2000, with little measurable improvement to Māori health outcomes, and Boat Health was $16 billion, of which $907 million was spent on various capitation money. That is primary healthcare provider. That's huge money that's actually coming out. Of that, $167 million was allocated to Māori patients, with $28.7 million of the funding going to Māori primary health organisations. Funding that we have been allocated, we're not actually getting it. So the question is, where is it going? From my perspective, you know, the way in which the system is set up with the private-public relationships and investment that they have, you know, the focus is actually not on wellness, and it's not on healing our people. It's more on how much money can we make out of this.
Yeah, bottom line sort of stuff.
Become profit-driven rather than people-driven. A number of our DHBs, for example, who have they have Māori directorates within there, but they get very little funding compared to the amount of funding that actually goes into their coffers. You know, that's got to change. Unless the attitude changes that there is an important part of Māori participating and looking after their own, you know, in the way in which they operationalise the health system, it's never going to change. It'll always stay the same.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.